Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you've count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
All my bets were safe. There just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome in to another Behind the Bets podcast. Thursday, November 7th. We are up and running here, mid-season point. We're going to get into a lot of things with Mr. Executive Director John Murray from the Westgate, and then also Mike Clay's hot with his props. Maybe I'll steal some of his for the Bonanza. Speaking of which, we've tweaked the, I don't want to say rules, but yeah, I guess the parameters of Baby Bankroll Bonanza. We'll get into that with John Murray. Travis, how are you?
Doing wonderful.
Yeah? Buckeyes are number one. Things are good.
You know.
Peachy.
It's fine. We got a noon game. I'm more Cowboys lately or just, I don't know what to think of them.
I think they're good.
I just don't know. The NFL is just so hard to predict.
Yeah, newsflash, breaking news.
That's what people were saying, that, you know, the Cowboys barely beat the Giants. I'm like, yeah, but the Browns beat the Ravens, and, like, the things happen in
the NFL. Jets beat the Cowboys.
Yeah, just things happen in this league, and which is why it's so hard. Speaking of picking NFL, how's our boy Tuca? Do we know? Ever since I put out one of the pods named Tuca, I think he took a hit, so.
That is funny. I have not heard. I have not heard on that. Well, we knew he would be struggling. I mean, no one can maintain that.
No one stays at like 27-3.
Correct. Okay. A lot to get through here. I'm trying to think. Oh, we posted mid-season bets that we like. Preston, humans, myself, and things we like for the mid-season, whether it be MVP, because the MVP discussion is really interesting. Russell Wilson's a favorite, but there's like five guys right there in sort of that tier of guys, it's an attainable award, and sort of Super Bowl futures, division picks as well. So things like that. All right. So go check that out on the ESPN.com chalk page. Also our college football plays, Bear and Steve as well. They have their podcast in addition to mine that posts on Wednesday.
He started as a ticket writer.
Well, the handle has gotten a lot higher here in the last hour.
Now he's a race and sportsbook director.
I have the guys at work here calling me Mr. Director and not looking directly into my eyes.
With people.
Brought in a whole new staff this year. It's kind of a Seinfeld-esque move where we just rotate the guys so the material doesn't get stale, Doug.
What happened in between? A hot tub and ESPN.
Kicking is for losers.
And that proved true yet again, the old adage. Sunday night. Our Mount Rushmore of coaches in the kicking is for losers sort of debate. And he let you down, Mr. Murray.
Yeah, Belichick is all four of the Mount Rushmore of coaches. There'd have to be a second Mount Rushmore for the next four.
Well, I think Peyton's up there just given what he's done. But let's go back to, what was it, like a decade ago? Maybe even more, when on 4th-and-3 he went for it in his own territory in that shootout with the Colts. This is a guy that
against the Colts
started really challenging conventional thinking, and here he is at the end of the first half. Now, I want to bring up, I'm not saying I'm against it. I will give a tip of the cap to someone on Twitter who said, hey, you're just giving him the benefit of the doubt because it's Belichick, but the move in a vacuum is stupid. I think that's fair. Maybe I am sort of just biased, but I think Belichick gets that, has earned that deference. My point is this, at the end of the half, and we've talked about this before,
Belichick has earned the deference. But go ahead.
At the end of a half, part of the, you know, thinking when you go for it on 4th-and-goal and like the one is, if part of the miss is you're leaving them pinned back and you have a strong likelihood to get the ball back without giving up any points. You don't have that as an option at the end of the first half. So the first half sort of decision is all about 3 points guaranteed or seven. Now, this was 4th-and-short inside the one. That's what was so baffling. It wasn't the 2-yard line. It wasn't the one. It was inside the one, and that's what surprised me the most.
Well, I had a bet on the Ravens, and I was rooting for the Ravens, and I was very happy to see them kick the field goal. What does that tell you?
Well, that tells you all you want to know. That's the rule of thumb. Yeah. Let's just say Edelman doesn't get stripped and lead to a touchdown. I mean, he was getting the ball back, and he was confident.
Sure.
I'm just trying to assume what he was thinking. I'm not saying it was the right call. I'm just trying to put myself in Belichick's shoes and understand why he did what he did, given his track record of going for it over all the years.
Yeah, it was very out of character. But talk about being in character, the following night, Pat Shurmur kicked like four 20-yard field goals. That was right on brand for Pat Shurmur, and a great kicking is for losers moment as well.
So looking at the box score here, Rosas kicked four field goals. He made all four, and he was 0-for-1 on extra points. So one touchdown, four field goals for the Giants.
If you're 4-for-4 on your field goals and the long is 29, you got issues, man. I mean, that's not good. And I blame that on the coach. 4-for-4 field goals with a long of 29 yards. And so they would get down there, they'd kick a field goal, and then what would happen? They'd kick off, and Dallas would just go right down the field and score a touchdown.
Basically.
I mean, they were very literally trading field goals for touchdowns.
How'd you feel about the 4th and 16 on his own 15 with less than 6 minutes to go, down 12, punting?
It was 4th and 16. I mean, I think you have to go for it, but I can kind of see it, I guess. I don't know. Shurmur is just, he's got to go at the end of the year.
I would be surprised if he stays around, but you never know. I mean, you never know. So the Ravens get there, solid, like, pros versus Joes, and that you predicted last week on the podcast that this would be the most heavily bet game of the season, and yeah. It sounds like you were, with flying colors, proven accurate.
Well, I think it was pretty close, actually, between that game and the Chargers-Packers game. There was a ton of money on the Chargers-Packers game, and not only that, everybody chased at halftime, or not everybody, but a ton of people chased at halftime, trying to get their money back, betting Packers second half. So there was a ton of money in that game. We actually won more money on the Packer game than the Patriot game, and the reason was so many of the parlays that would have gone to New England had already lost.
Interesting.
Whether it was on the Packers or the Browns or the Colts, which were all big public sides.
And for those back in the Chargers, excuse me, the Packers on Sunday.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
It's not. And because of the old hangover, those Halloween parties affecting the play of the Packers, according to Aaron Rodgers.
Clearly. The Packers are a team that we've talked about fading a few times this year on the show, and they're just a very overvalued team at the moment, I think.
But it was strange to hear the comments from Aaron Rodgers. Even Matt LaFleur saying we showed up late.
Yeah, what does that mean? Like, this is an NFL game. Like, you didn't know what time the game was going to be?
Well, I think they were hungover. I think they partied and took the Chargers lightly. But it is what it is. So I was just saying, hey, you know, this wasn't the squarest play of the world. It was sometimes those situations happen.
I can't relate to anybody going out to L.A., partying too hard, and being hungover the next day.
Yeah.
So I got nothing to add because I can't relate to such behavior in any way.
So unprofessional. Okay, yeah. Let's flip the page. I'm really excited about the primetime games this week. And
yeah, it's really good, actually. And I joke about them every week, but This week all three of them look very good.
Right. So let's start with Chargers-Oakland. Both teams coming off nice home wins. Raiders were back home in the black hole after 7 weeks away from the Bay Area, and this game is playoff implications, as crazy as that sounds, given the Chiefs come back to earth, but really wild card probably in the, you know, the only thing attainable for the Chargers and Raiders, and Oakland was the favorite. Now it's a short favorite with the Chargers.
Yeah, we opened Oakland a small favorite. It's flipped to the Chargers, a 1.5-point favorite. That's really just us moving with the market. The money is really split here at the book. It's like take count is almost exactly 50-50 right now. Chargers are getting healthy, but I don't want to doubt the Ravens or the Raiders any more than I already have. I've spent enough time this season doubting the Raiders. John Gruden's doing a great job in Oakland, and this game tonight really is a toss-up.
I'm with you. I like the over, or maybe just both team totals over, preferably the Chargers. I think we're going to see some points here.
Yeah, the Chargers are finally getting healthy on the offensive line. The Raiders' defense is not very good, but the Raiders' play calling and Derek Carr's performance in Gruden's offense this season has really impressed me. The Raiders are well ahead of schedule, and I think if you're living in Las Vegas and you're waiting for the Raiders to come here next year, you're going to be very happy with what you get next season.
No, I agree with you what Gruden's doing, just because he was kind of like silly at times last year. I thought this was the biggest bust hire, but to your point, Derek Carr leads the NFL in completion percentage. I feel like the offense, especially in the first half, whether it be scripted or whatever it is, just looks so crisp and guys are running wide open. So I've been impressed. I think it's an easy sort of like assumption to bet on the Chargers here, given what you last saw against the Packers. But some of that, let's We were just talking about the hangover effect. Let's not jump to too many conclusions here. Chargers did look pretty inept. The Steelers at home on Sunday night. Raiders, I think it's a straight coin flip game, and I think it's a toss-up. Just going to come down to the end.
I agree, and it really doesn't shape up to be a big decision here because, like I said, the money is really evenly divided.
Let's talk Chiefs-Titans. How are you approaching this with the unknown status of Patrick Mahomes?
Well, this is a game that will not be evenly divided. Everyone's going to bet Kansas City. Mahomes, by all accounts, practiced. He's in right. on Sunday. We got the Chiefs right now -5.5, up from 3.5. 3.5 was kind of like a look-ahead number, thinking he probably would play, but not fully committing to him playing. 5.5 is a number based on Mahomes definitely playing on Sunday. And I can tell you right now, the ticket count's already about 7-1 on the Chiefs. And we're going to need the Titans for probably our biggest decision of the 10 a.m. local games on Sunday morning.
So no concern over like a setback with Mahomes or anything like that? Because there was a chance he was going to play last week.
Yeah, that's true. And if it were to happen, certainly we'd have to adjust the number. But everything we're reading is that he's okay to go this week, and we're proceeding as if he's definitely playing.
All right, your boy Freddie Kitchens, another loss. And the Browns continue to struggle. They are 2-6 and laying points over a 6-2 team.
Yeah, and here's a few talking points. We had sharp money come in this week, -2, -2.5 on the Browns. We're at Browns -3 now. Browns -3 was the pick we gave to Mr. Musburger yesterday on VSiN. We like the Browns, and I think it's a game that's setting up to be one where the public is actually on the dog. Right now you've got about a 4-1 ticket count on Buffalo here. Like Cleveland in this spot, and anytime you can back Freddie Kitchens, you got to feel good about doing so. He's a real mastermind.
Yeah, especially laying points.
Oh, of course. No concerns there.
It is fascinating. I was on the Bills in terms of my eliminator, and then also – no, sorry, I was on a different team with my eliminator. I already used Buffalo, but I was on Buffalo, and they're missing a few things. Like, this team is a little bit of fool's gold, but I think everyone knows that. I don't think people are talking about them in a Super Bowl contender kind of vein.
No, the Bills are what they are. They're a team that's got a great defense, they're well coached, and they're looking to ride their schedule into a wild card berth. That's all they are. They're not a team that's a legitimate threat to win anything significant.
I'm not sure their defense is that great.
It's pretty good. It's not San Francisco. No, it's not San Francisco or New England, but it's good. And certainly, I really like Sean McDermott, but the number one thing there is the schedule. And if you really look at the last time they made the playoffs 2 years ago, one of the things they really benefited from was a bunch of the quarterbacks in the AFC were hurt that year, and they kind of made the playoffs by default that year.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be a situation where that happens again this season.
Yeah, they've benefited from the schedule and just everything else, mm-hmm. and they're a little bit more polished, I think, than they were a couple years ago with Tyrod Taylor.
Oh, no, they definitely are. Their defense is better, and that was McDermott's first year there. And no, certainly this is a better team than that team, but I'm just mentioning it, too. That team kind of made the playoffs by default, and they had that miracle where the Ravens gave up that late touchdown against the Bengals. This year's team, I think, is better, but if they get in, it's really going to just be because of their schedule.
Yeah, I don't think I can lay those 3 points with the Browns. Arizona-Tampa Bay, real fun game. Tampa continues to drop heartbreakers, cost us both in the bonanza, but anybody with half a brain and weren't committed, you know, weren't restricted with our rules would have grabbed the 6 earlier in the week.
Yeah.
And
6 was a very market number, even at the time we were recording that show. You should have, if you had Tampa Bay, you should have pushed on that game.
Correct. And Arizona here coming in, Cardinals playing a lot better these days.
They are, and Kingsbury and Murray, are clearly ahead of schedule right now. I've been impressed with them in a lot of ways. I mean, they even rallied last Thursday night against the 49ers.
Right.
Came back and gave the 49ers a run for their money on Thursday Night Football. So Tampa Bay -4.5 here. This looks to be probably the lowest volume game of the morning. I think the next game that we're about to talk about it might give it a run for its money. But this looks to be a very low volume game, small decision. Most of the tickets right now are on Tampa Bay, but there's very little to report on in terms of action on that game.
Well, you teased it. Let's deliver it. What more can you say about the Jets right now?
Well, how can Adam Gase possibly survive this season? And I was talking to Mitch Moss about it this morning. I don't see how the Jets could possibly bring Adam Gase back. I know it's hard to fire a coach after only one season, but I think this is one of the rare times where Arizona did it last year, and it looks like it's worked out for them. And I think the Jets are going to have to do the same thing this year. I don't see any way around it.
I work with a guy, and Sunday morning, he's like, all right, I got your best bet for you. I'm like, what? He's like, just hear me out. He set it up. He goes, all right, you got to hear me out. I'm going to explain it all. We were sitting down. He looks at me. He goes, Jets minus -3. And before he could say another word, I said, no. And so his whole thing was like, hear me out. Let me do it. And he lasted about a second and a half. You just can't lay points with a bad team. And
not that bad
on the road.
The Jets are a team a few weeks ago. I said, these guys are going to be a bye team in the second half of the year because I like Darnold. I like some of their defensive pieces. Couldn't have been more wrong about that. Gase is doing a terrible job there. Darnold looks lost out there. Just a complete mess of an organization right now, and they got to make a coaching change.
Instead, I lost another best bet, but at least it wasn't the Jets minus -3 at the Dolphins.
Yeah.
And this Miami team is competent at times. I think that's the best
compliment.
They're
frisky.
Yeah.
They're frisky.
With
the Giants, we'll need the Jets for a little bit when this game kicks. I think people will talk themselves into the Giants as a cheap favorite here. Not really a road game, but nobody's looking to bet on the Jets. So we'll probably need the Jets for a small number.
We've talked about it. I got to actually run these numbers. I wonder what the ATS hit rate is of dogs plus +2.5 and favorites minus -3.5, because I feel like the bait's on the opposite side of those.
Yeah, they're trying to get you to take the Giants. They're trying to get you to take the Bears.
Right.
I don't know that I could. I wouldn't get involved in either of those games, but if I were to get involved, I certainly wouldn't want to bet on the Jets.
Okay, so let's keep it moving. We'll get to the Bears game momentarily. Here is a game I'm picking for this week's Survivor, and that's New Orleans. Matt Ryan expected back. Saints laying 13 here, and this might be a week where I have to get involved in those 13-point, 10-point teasers, all that kind of nonsense, the super teasers.
That sounds like nonsense, but the Saints are starting to get healthy. They're getting Kamara back this week, and watch out for New Orleans. I feel like everybody's talking about the 49ers. They're talking about the Patriots. Don't hear much about the Saints. Saints are a real threat to win it all this year. As far as this game on Sunday, we're going to need Atlanta. People will lay the points with New Orleans, and New Orleans will be included in every Moneyline parlay, but I don't anticipate it being a really big decision.
Yeah, we had to do picks for the midseason because that's where we are. Every team's played at least 8 games, and I number one play was New Orleans plus +450 to win it all because they're going to get the one seed. I realize the Niners are undefeated, but just given what's ahead of them in the schedule, I'm very confident New Orleans ends up with that one seed.
Yeah, and if they do get that one seed, we talked about this before. Breeze maybe won't run out of gas this season the way he did mm-hmm. last year because he missed, 4 or 5 games. Defense looks better than last year. They've got playmakers on offense. They've got a coach that we both agree is top 3 NFL head coach, Sean Payton. There's nothing missing there. They have every ingredient to win a Super Bowl. And if they get home field advantage, I really like their chances of getting to Miami.
Right.
I think they won their one Super Bowl. I think they won it in Miami, actually.
They did. It was in a little bit of the rain, the onside kick to begin the second half. Hank Baskett, was that who botched it?
It was Hank Baskett.
Question for you. If New Orleans, obviously a lot can happen between now and February, but do you anticipate if New Orleans gets the one seed and goes to the Super Bowl, they would be favored over any AFC team?
Well, it really depends a lot on, and this is a cop-out answer, but it totally depends on who they play and how the team gets there. If New England comes in on a roll like they did last year where they blew out the Chargers and then won in Kansas City, New England will definitely be favored.
Interesting, because I think New England's shown some vulnerability, and you're right.
I
could see New Orleans being a favorite. That's all.
I thought the Rams were a better overall team than New England was last year, and I was happy to take the Rams plus +3, minus -110, which is a bet that I made on the Super Bowl last season. And guess what? The public was all over New England, and New England covered. So you just...
Right, but last year the Rams had the fluke win with the referee thing, and there was a little bit more... Rather than New Orleans, the one seed running through and the respect that Breeze and Peyton have versus Goff.
it just depends so much on how they get there. I mean, if New Orleans were to blow out, like, let's just say Green Bay and then San Francisco and win both games decisively,
yeah,
then it's possible. I mean, it just depends on how these teams come into the game. But right now, New England still looks like they'd be the favorites.
Gotcha. Okay, well, speaking of the team that just handed New England its first loss, Baltimore now on the road facing Ryan Finley with the Bengals. And you know what? Look, I understand the Sharps all want to look to fade a Ravens team off that high, but it is hard to with the Bengals here and Finley making the start. But I would not lay the
team. Yeah, the public will be on Baltimore. No surprise there. They're about 4-1 on Baltimore here at the Superbook. They're going to be included in every Moneyline parlay along with the New Orleans Saints. Bengals are off a bye week. They go to the new quarterback. It sets up like a letdown spot for Baltimore if you believe in that kind of thing, but I got to believe there's better places on the board to put your money than the Bengals. We will be rooting for the Bengals on Sunday, though.
Yeah, that's my whole thing. It's Bengals or pass for me, and I just can't take the Bengals. They're bad. They're a really bad team,
you.
And frankly, they are in pole position for the number one pick, and I don't think that's lost in the front office. So we talked about the Dolphins tanking.
Are.
Yeah, I think they know what's at stake here.
And if you look at Miami, imagine if they end up coming out of this whole thing with like the third or fourth pick with this whole thing. I mean, that's not impossible. Washington is 1-8. Washington is completely incompetent. It's possible that Miami might end up picking third or fourth when the dust settles here.
Yeah, and as much
look
as
at the Jets.
Yeah, the Jets beat the Cowboys. I get it, but that's their only loss.
I know. I mean, Miami, it's not impossible Miami could end up picking fourth, which would have to be kind of disappointing considering what they did is strip down their roster.
Kind of.
No, I know. Although there doesn't appear to be like an Andrew Luck out there in the draft this year.
Either way, you want to draft higher than lower.
Agreed.
that's kind of analysis you get here. It's kind of analysis you get
Excellent
here on the podcast.
I'm gonna write
don't
down
sleep
down
on
for next week.
Don't sleep on the Falcons, by the way. Don't sleep on the Falcons.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot about that. Talk about a coach who is. I don't even understand how he survived to this point.
He has pictures. He's incriminating photos.
Well, the perfect time to fire the guy was during the bye week and go into the after the bye week fresh with a new coach. But if they didn't fire him after or before the bye week or during the bye week, at this point you got to think they're going to let him finish out the season. Why not?
I think it was Will Cain I was listening to on radio said a quarter of the league, so eight teams, have only won a quarter of their games or less, so two or less.
Wow. So. Yeah, not the parity we usually expect from the NFL, huh?
Exactly. Okay, so we have this Carolina Green Bay now. Packers lane 5 here. I think it's a good bet on spot for the Pack, but I just not psyched that they're playing Carolina.
Yeah, I don't trust the Packers. I know what you're saying. You know, we talked last week about how it was probably a good time to buy the Panthers after they got crushed by the 49ers the previous week. And by that same logic, you'd think it'd be a good week to buy Green Bay coming off of what will most likely be their worst performance of the year. They got blown out by the Chargers last Sunday. I just don't trust Green Bay. Most of the tickets here are on Green Bay. It's about a 2-1 count. Nothing really significant, but we'll need Carolina in the afternoon, but I don't anticipate it being a really big decision.
It's a fascinating game, just given how much of an egg the Packers laid last week.
Yeah. And how about one of my favorite moments of the week? My favorite moment of the week was all of Shermer's field goals, but my second favorite moment was the Packers, the guy for the Packers dancing in the end zone after his touchdown made it 26-9. That was awesome. What are these guys doing? 26-9, dude.
There was a moment, and I felt like an old man. I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, what's this idiot doing?
I am an old man, and I thought it was stupid.
My coaches in high school used to teach me, and then in college I did it too. Is when a guy was doing that, I just like point to the scoreboard. You know, when you're an idiot.
26-9, it was in the fourth quarter, and you're doing a jig in the end zone. I mean, right. You look a little silly, yeah.
So the next game, Detroit-Chicago, like we talked about it earlier, the odds, the bookmakers are getting you to bet, trying to trap you into betting the Bears. I mean, I got to look it up. I am just curious from a standpoint of just those 2.5-point spreads are always bait.
People are avoiding that trap here, at least. It's about 2.5-1 tickets on the Lions. We need the Bears for a small number right now. Nobody wants to bet on the Bears right now, dude. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. We had a great day this last Sunday, and our biggest loss by far was Philadelphia covering against Chicago in the morning game. Nobody wants to bet on Chicago right now. That offense is a disaster.
Yeah, it is mesmerizing. And it just keeps getting worse in terms of a storyline. Now yeah. Trubisky's complaining about TVs talking. I mean, it's just mind-boggling what's going on.
It's crazy. Like, there's no way. We all knew that Chicago had a great defense coming into the year. We all knew they had a really hard schedule. That's why I advised playing them under wins. It was more to do with their schedule than anything. No one could have possibly thought this offense would be this bad. It's ridiculous. There's no way you could have ever seen this coming. I mean, we all had our laughs about people betting on Trubisky to win the MVP. I thought that was a terrible bet, but I never in a million years thought they'd be this bad.
Is Chase Daniel definitely not better than Trubisky?
He looked really bad when he was in there. I don't know. I don't know what you can even do at this point. Maybe you make the move to Chase Daniel. I don't see how he could play any worse, but I think Matt Nagy is really the bigger problem in Chicago.
God, it's fascinating. I like the Lions in this game, but they showed me nothing last week. I guess nothing's a strong word, but it's just hard to back them here. I mean, at some point, the Bears are going to be somewhat competent on offense. I think the Lions could.
Well, the Bears are so good defensively. Think back to that game in September. They were a cheap favorite at home, and they just crushed Minnesota. Minnesota couldn't even get a first down in that game.
No.
You've got to think that the Bears, with all that talent on the defensive side of the ball, are due for another one of those games where their defense just shuts down the opposing offense and essentially steals a game for them. But it's really hard to bet on Chicago right now. There's so much dysfunction on that team.
Yeah, Bears are probably the right side there. I don't know. I'm getting all grumpy now. Let's go to the Colts because this should be a beatdown, but it's not going to be. Jacoby mm-hmm. Brissett is unknown status here. The Dolphins in town, and as we know, the Colts have played every game this year within 7 points.
Yeah, and we're proceeding as if Jacoby Brissett will not play. Brian Hoyer will be the quarterback for the Colts. We got this line, Colts minus 10. You know, our look-ahead number on this game was 15.5. It's come down by 5.5 points, not just because of the drop-off from Brissett to Hoyer, but also because Miami just looked a lot more competitive the last few weeks. And Miami's playing to a better number right now. Colts should be able to get through them without Brissett, but, you know, I don't know that you really want to lay 10 points because, like you just said, they haven't had any games be decided by more than a touchdown this year, and they got a kicker. They can't make extra points or field goals, and they got a holder that's never seen Ace Ventura. So I don't know that you want to lay 10 points right now with Indianapolis.
Yeah, I know. Some guy, like, tweeted at me, like, making fun of my pick on the Colts. It's like, sorry, a missed field goal. Like,
well, I can tell you that I actually had a bet on the Steelers in my pocket, and I walked out of that one thinking I got extremely lucky. I mean, Minka Fitzpatrick had a pick six.
Injured quarterback.
Quarterback for the Colts got knocked out of the game, and they still could have won with a makeable field goal, a classic Finkel-Einhorn moment there for the Colts. But, no, I mean, I bet the Steelers last week, and I think the Colts were the right side based on what I saw.
Yeah, I mean, the whole laces thing, I don't get it. Like, there was every opportunity to spin that thing, so disappointing.
I agree.
I'd love the Miami plus 15. That's ridiculous now that I think about it.
Well, it was a different time, Doug. You're talking about this was 9 days ago. when we did the previous Tuesday look ahead numbers. So that was a different era for the Miami Dolphins.
Certainly was. Now they're bet on teams. Okay, we're continue with the second slate of games here.
Yeah.
Rams at the Steelers. Intriguing game here. I look at the Rams here. I like the Rams.
I think this will be our biggest decision of the week. The Rams, you know, we always talk about how the public likes these cheap road favorites. Rams were -3.5 in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, we just talked about, they got pretty lucky to win that game on Sunday. They've got a backup quarterback in there in Mason Rudolph. Rams, take account, not as one-sided as I would have thought. It's a little bit less than 3-1 right now. It certainly won't be nearly as big of a decision as Green Bay or New England were last week. But I think as of now, it shapes up to be our biggest decision of the week, either this game or Kansas City in the morning.
That surprises me. So I guess you're getting two-way action on the primetime games?
Yeah, actually, the Sunday night game, well, I mentioned earlier the Thursday night game is extremely split. It's like exactly 50-50 right now. But the Sunday night game, Minnesota-Dallas, is another one where there's money coming in both ways.
Gotcha. Okay, so Dallas holding firm at 3. We predicted accurately last week that the Tampa Bay Seattle line would come down from 6 to 4, which it did. I thought maybe even four and a half, and then or 4 or 3.5. So I gave myself a few options, landed 4. So any movement in any of these games, including the Sunday night one with Dallas laying 3?
I don't think you mean predicting movement for this weekend.
Line movement.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Browns got even higher, just because the group we saw betting the Browns, everything that they've been betting has kept moving throughout the week, including the Tampa Bay game that you just mentioned last week, and that group also bet the 49ers this week.
Yeah,
so we talk about the Monday night game. The Monday night game, we're at 6.5 right now. Don't be surprised if this goes even higher, because like I said, everything these guys bet, it seems to keep moving up throughout the course of the week. And we've seen this a few times this year where the 49ers have been laying points at home, and everybody's talked themselves into betting the dog. We saw this on a previous Monday night game with Cleveland. We saw it a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday afternoon game. Everybody took Carolina, and the 49ers have just been routing teams at home.
Yeah, that's my favorite play of the weekend is the Niners. And I just think it all signs point to that. We'll get to that in a moment. But anything to note on this Sunday night game with Dallas and Minnesota?
Just a really good matchup. Minnesota, you know, keep this in mind. Minnesota's been much better at home than they have been on the road. Great matchup. Very even betting. I don't think we'll see this number move off 3. It might be a different variation of 3. 3 even, 320. But I don't think you're going to see the number itself change unless there's an injury or a suspension between now and Sunday night. 3 seems like the right number to me.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think I oversimplified it the other day, but is it as simple as Dallas is good when they're at healthy with Tyron Smith and everything, and then when they're not, when he's not there, they're not good?
That's kind of how it looks to me right now. I mean, we saw what happened when Tyron Smith, Lyle Collins got hurt there in the middle of the season. They were losing to the Jets. Dallas is so reliant on that great offensive line. That unit's one of the best in the league. We saw how much they failed without those guys in the lineup.
I'm really interested to see this game because Dallas was laying, 3 against the Eagles a couple Sundays ago? And this Vikings team is better than the Eagles. So I think this is a really fair price.
Certainly they look like they are right now. But like I said, they have been a lot better at home than on the road, talking about the Vikings.
Yeah. And Thielen, we're not 100% sure what his status is.
Right. That's a good point, too.
Okay, Monday night, we just touched on it. Here's my thing with the Niners. I just think the way their pass rush is and structured, that they're going to keep Russell Wilson in the pocket more than most, and he's going to get his plays. But this is a Seattle team that is bottom third in defense against the run and the pass, and that's why he's the MVP favorite, is because he's been bailing them out left and right. Now, they're much worse as a favorite than an underdog, but I think the Niners, with that rushing attack, that defense, Jimmy G actually impressed me a lot last week, even though they didn't cover. I think they pull away, and they get this one by double digits.
Well, that was really Jimmy G's best performance of the year, right? I mean, he made some really good throws on third down to extend some drives there. And there's been sharp money that's come in on the 49ers, -5.5 and -6. We're at 6.5. This is one, don't be surprised to see it go even higher. Just the way that it's been trending and the way that these sharp plays have been trending, they've all seemed to keep creeping up throughout the week. I know it's a big difference between 6.5 and 7, but I won't be surprised to see 7s out there on Monday.
Yeah, well, and there's some 6s right there in the market. So if you want that 6, I would grab it now if you're on the
Yeah, we're hanging high on purpose here because we like the 49ers.
And that's the thing. And you guys, even when you don't have someone esteemed like John Murray here to talk to, you can look at a board. And over time, you'll be able to learn how to read a screen is the phrase. And if you see sharp situations, sharp books like this situation – on the high side, it's that they just want to be the first to that number because that's where they know it's eventually going to go.
That's what bookmaking is all about. Everybody wants to talk about odds making, and I know that odds making is fun and it makes for fun radio conversations, and I'm the first one to participate in those radio conversations. But bookmaking is the important part of the business, and the biggest keys to bookmaking are knowing your customer and being the first one to get to the correct number. The book that gets to the right number first is going to come out on top.
And you guys are just very – you just know that the number – the action is going to come in on the San Francisco side, and that's why you're going to get there first.
The sharp money is coming in on the 49ers side, so we want to hang a little bit high over the market on the 49ers right now. Doesn't mean the 49ers are guaranteed to cover, but we did it last week with the Tampa Bay game. Actually, it cost us because we wrote a bunch of Seattle minus five bets. You know, I mean that stuff happens, right? It just, but we were right to do it because the number ended up getting down to four, and we had taken all this money at minus five. You just want to put yourself in the right positions as much as possible, and in the long run, you'll come out on top.
Makes sense. Okay, my friend. What was I going to say? Oh, did you go to three before the other books were 3.5 first? Were you like among the first to go?
We're talking about the
Ravens-Patriots game.
Yeah, actually, that's a great question. We did. We went to three pretty early in that game because we had a feeling that the market was going to go there. And even when we did the Super Contest lines on Wednesday of last week, we made the Super Contest number three, even though basically the entire market was at 3.5 because we had a feeling it was going
to
close there.
You guys like to do that. You guys like to get ahead of it like that.
Well, you want to be ahead of the market. That's what this game is all about. I mean, I know everybody wants to talk about like hypothetical odds on Clemson or Penn, you know, Clemson LSU or Clemson Penn State. It's fun. I get that, but the bookmaking aspect is much more important.
To the bottom line, right?
Okay. To the bottom line, and that's what those suits care about, Doug. Those suits that I'm always trying to please.
Yes, and they care about that bottom line. You are one, sir.
Someday I will be. Someday.
Okay, let's get to it.
It's time for Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
All right, we got a little mid-season update. We got to take inventory of things. What's the right word? I got to come clean on things, okay? So you are up a lot. I'm down close to $8,000 on our fictitious bankroll. You are up $1,600 grinding away. And I feel like
I'm a grinder, man. I'm the knish of this bonanza.
I just sort of like let the audience down. I had made this big thing when we introduced the bankroll bonanza a year ago, beginning of last season. Talk about like I hate the pick segment. No offense, the super contest is not like the best measure of handicap because it's just mandatory five plays each week. It's a fun contest, but it's not really simulating true betting. You want to be able to have a bankroll. You want to be able to jump on first quarter lines, second halves, team totals, props, everything. And I just thought I wanted to create this sort of baby bankroll bonanza to do a very, very authentic way and realistic way. And then obviously have some fun and donate to Kai's college fund or his kids' college. But the problem is I have not followed through on some of the stuff I've discussed. I've pushed it to the bottom of the priority list, and that's my bad. Mm-hmm. So Sundays, like I get like 2.5 hours sleep because I'm like, often firing on the Hawaii game and things like that, and I have to get up really early, and I'm a night owl. And then I have to come in.
You got a lot of balls in the air, Doug. You got a lot of balls in the air, buddy.
It's bad because I do the daily wager, and then I take four things for .com, and I actually go try to squeeze in a nap before the kickoff, and I genuinely just forget about playing back some of these games. For example, we talked about it last week. There's a reason I took that big position on Tampa Bay is because you and I, thanks to your wisdom and your communication with me, predicted that the line would come down and played back minus four. I actually did it on my own, right? I played the four after grabbing the plus six, and I had a nice middle and sided when it landed six in OT, but I just didn't do it in the bankroll bonanza. So I'm very disappointed in myself, and as much as I would like to undo some of this stuff, you know, we had, like, I did get greedy on the Seahawks game, but I just forgot about it, that a couple Thursdays ago, Seahawks-Rams, and playing out of it. Now, I didn't forget the time we did the Chiefs-Broncos game and played out of that. So where we are is you have a nice lead, and I'm going to make the executive decision.
Oh, no.
I'm actually making two executive decisions. One is, as much as I respect the Westgate numbers and everything, I don't think that's authentic betting. So if there are numbers in the marketplace, we should be able to grab them. So last week, both of us, not just me but you, should have been able to grab plus six. I think it's stupid to take bad numbers. We talk about the importance of good numbers. We shouldn't be married to the Westgate number.
Well, you don't want to be, in general, you don't want to be betting, not in general, you just simply don't want to be betting with only one account. You need to give yourself a couple of different options because those half points add up over the course of a season big time, more than you realize. And last week was a good example where Tampa Bay was plus six in a lot of books when we did our show Thursday, but the Westgate was at 5.5 because, like I just mentioned with the 49er game and the Raven game, we tried to stay ahead of the curve because we thought that number was going to come down, and we were right, and it screwed the two of us in the bonanza.
So for simplicity purposes, there are some scenarios where we should. Like, for example, the live line when I pick off something on Twitter. Like, that should be the Westgate line. Or the Westgate props. Like, I'm okay with that. Maybe I think if there's, like, a cool prop that's somewhere else that I think we should allow it. So I'm just starting to think we need to, like, widen it because the whole point is to shop around, do stuff like that. We should be able to do that with the Bonanza. But let's not
get
carried.
You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts.
If something is -110 at the Westgate on a live line, but it's like -105 at like DraftKings, no, we're using the Westgate live line.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If we want to get a better number and it's a pretty like normal number and pretty common number elsewhere, I think that's fair.
I'm okay. Good with that. No problem here.
The other executive decision. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I was just going to say that I'm going to use the 49ers in the show today, and there's sixes everywhere, so I'll save myself half a point.
Right, and I'm going to be on the Niners big too. And the other executive decision is we're making it 20 grand. Okay, we're buying back in like a poker tournament. We're set, and I mean business. So I owe it to our listeners. I owe it to you. I owe it to Kai's kid.
I don't think you owe Kai and his family anything. I feel like you've paid your dues to Kai.
Well,
they're fine, but you can do it for the listeners. Love Kai.
We need to treat this seriously. And it's also fun to have the bankroll action. And I know a lot of people have tweeted at me just loving the middle shot and things like that. It's just annoying that last week it actually hit and didn't have the right number at the 5.5. So live and learn, as they say. So, Mr. Director, you are on fire. And last week you hit both of yours, Baltimore plus – excuse me, you went 1-1.
No, I went 1-1 because I had Tampa Bay plus 5.5. Yeah.
Right, so you are at 1,600 positive right now.
You know what? I'm going to – because I like Cleveland this week, and since you changed the rules on me, and I see a bunch of -3 even monies
yes.
out there, so
yes.
I'll just go ahead and I'll do, like, there's, like, almost every book on the strip has -3 even money, so I'm not cheating here. I'll go, I'll put a dime on Cleveland -3 even, 1,000 to win 1,000.
I even see a 2.5 -15.
In Vegas?
Not ready to go there?
No, I'll stick to the Vegas numbers.
Bet MGM. I'm seeing -2.5, -15.
Oh, is that New Jersey?
I thought that's in the MGM app. No,
the Mirage has -3 even. I think Bet MGM is the New Jersey. I'm going to stick with the Nevada numbers for now.
That's
but
fair.
I'll go -3 even for 1,000 to win 1,000.
Good thing I'm not restricted to like the Rhode Island numbers where I would have to drive for an hour and get it. We're good there.
Yeah.
Okay. So I am going to take a position with the Niners -6, -110. We'll do three dimes again.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'll still play it because I like that side, but I'm just going to do -6, also the Niners. I'll just do it for 500 because I feel like you're going to be playing out of it
right.
anyway.
Yeah. You're good there.
I'll just stick to my, guns there. My two picks a week. Browns for 1,000 and Giants for 500. I'm sorry, 49ers for 500. Excuse
gotcha.
Me.
And there's really 49ers. Not another side I like. It's funny. I'm texting with my editor. He wants to my picks are due today for the weekend. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have a group sort of effort where we have at least one pick on every game. And he likes to kind of sample all of us. Hey, like, what games are you at least going to be on? You know, your write-ups aren't due until later, but I like to because he needs to, like, allocate and call humans or call some others and be like, hey, got anything on Miami Indy? I need someone. So I don't think I'm going to get – I think the Rams – why don't we do the Rams -3.5 for – I'll do that for a nickel just so we have two plays.
Okay. Yeah, there is a – I don't know how wacky you want to go, but – technically, Caesars does have -3.5, -105. I've got the screen in front of me here.
We'll take the -105 because we have such a nice relationship with Caesars.
You might as well. That's fair. I got a good relationship with the guys at Caesars. Good crew over there. So that sounds fine to me.
You know what? Let's just keep it. We'll keep it. Fine. We'll try it this way. I was going to say let's just keep it kind of like market number, but I think that's fine. It's not going to matter. We're not going to be off by $25.
No,
just the way things roll.
We could even narrow it down to we could just use Westgate or Caesars. That would still be pretty narrow.
No. I need some options out there.
Okay,
I need some flexibility here. And I might
long
have a super teaser for you, Murray. I might have a super teaser. I like the New Orleans bringing this one down.
I'm okay booking your super teaser, so that I'll take my chance.
This might be a good week. You know, the old Ravens. Saints, Colts. How does that lose? I guess the Ravens.
I don't know. Colts. Ravens, Saints, Colts. Yeah, I mean, we don't do super teasers here, but I'll take your word for it on what juice there is involved.
I believe it's 120. 120 is the goal. Okay, my friend.
I really don't know.
That is good stuff. I might have to jump in last minute with a team total tonight. So keep an eye on that Twitter feed, Mr. Executive Director.
Okay. I will be here if you need me.
Question for you. Now that the parade is behind you, has it sunk in at all yet?
Yeah, I was looking at going to the home opener next year. I didn't want to go to the parade, but the home opener next year is on a Thursday. They're playing the Mets. And I think they're going to do the banner. They're going to do the rings and all that. So I'm gonna make a trip back home for that. It's awesome, man. It's crazy that we won the World Series. It really is.
That's awesome for you.
So many great teams, and this is true of every sport. I mean, so many great teams that never actually get to win the championship for one reason or another. So it's very cool.
Good. All right, my friend. We will talk next week.
Yes, sir. Talk to you next week.
This has been Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
Nerd alert!
Mike Clay back with us, and congratulations, sir. Heating up, I like to see it.
Yeah, we're on a hot streak. We probably won about two-thirds of them over the past 3 weeks, and
swept the board Sunday night, so that was solid.
Yeah, good week nine for sure. Yeah, it was the Patriots game, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got all of those. Yeah, that went about as scripted, aside of the Ravens winning, but it was about right. We expected the Patriots to throw it a lot.
And you were saying that maybe now where we are in the season's finally giving you enough data.
Yeah, I think so. Once you get halfway through, you have a pretty good sample of data too. Also, it was kind of a bizarre first half of the season. We didn't talk about this much, but the road teams just kept winning and winning and winning. Right. It was like a historical season in terms of road teams winning, and it kind of threw off. I'm having my worst year in straight up pick 'em of my life because of that. But it's starting to fix itself over the past few weeks, and I think you've seen that in the scoreboard and in the props as well.
Very important to clarify: is it data or data?
It is both of those things. It depends how I'm feeling.
Okay, fair enough. Let's start tonight. One play for you.
One tonight is Hunter Henry. Yes, to finding the end zone in this game. Let's look at the 5 weeks that he has been active this season. 2.6 OTD, or an opportunity adjusted touchdown total. That's 29th in the NFL. He has 3 touchdowns. He has 3 end zone targets. That's 17th most. So pretty good usage near the goal line. Not new for him. 29 career NFL games coming into this season as 12 touchdowns and 20 end zone targets. In fact, the Chargers this season ranked 7th in the NFL with 21 end zone targets. Philip Rivers loves to throw it into the confines of the end zone, and Henry has been on the receiving end of several of those this season. Also, a ton of overall usage, 33 targets in 4 games just since his return in week 6. By the way, the Raiders defense, a great matchup. They've allowed 6 touchdowns to tight ends already, that's second most, as well as 6 end zone targets. That is 4th most. So a plus $1.65, Doug, I'm in on that one.
Yeah, I'm expecting a lot of points today from both teams, but particularly the Chargers as well. Okay, Sunday, nice game with the Bears-Lions here. You have a prop here?
I do. David Montgomery over 56.5 rushing yards. It's on the board at minus $1.10. I like the over pretty aggressively here. I'm at 73 yards in my projection. Look, he's only been over this in 3 of 8 games. One of those was 2 weeks ago, though, when he had 27 carries for 135 yards. This team has recommitted to the run over the past 2 weeks. And what has that meant for Montgomery, their lead back? It's meant that he played 72% of the snaps. That's big time usage for any running back. Has 41 carries during that span. In 6 games this season, in which he has at least 10 carries, he's averaging 63.7 rushing yards. And then again, a great matchup here. Last week, we liked the under on him because he was playing Philly. This week, he plays Detroit. 6 most rushes allowed to running backs and 8th most rushing yards allowed to that position, also allowing 4.5 yards per carry. That's 10th worst. 7 running backs have reached 57 yards against them this season. So I like the over.
Okay. So you think just the matchup and everything else?
Volume plus matchup.
Points to an over. Okay. Another 1 p.m. kickoff, and this is Arizona, New Orleans. Kyler Murray.
Yes. Kyler Murray over 33.5 passing attempts in this game. He's averaging 35.1 per game this season. But a lot of that was at the beginning of the season. So actually recently he's been under in 5 of his past 6 games. It might turn you off to this one. 2 of them were really low volume games against San Francisco and New Orleans. Other have been a result of game script for sure. But the big one here for me is the matchup against Tampa Bay. Offenses facing the Bucs averaging 66 plays per game. That's 8th most. They're calling pass 67% of the time. That is fifth highest, and if you adjust for game script, it is highest in the league. They face the most pass attempts with 325 this season, the most completions with 208, the second most yards allowed, and I mention all of those other categories because they're bad against the pass. Teams are attacking them through the air. They've also faced the eighth fewest rushing attempts and second fewest rushing yards. They're 3.3 yards per carry allowed, second lowest. Everybody knows it, and they're building their game plans around it. They are really good against the run. They are atrocious against the pass. And in fact, Jimmy Garoppolo is the only quarterback to attempt fewer than 32 passes against them. Every quarterback they face is either in that range or going over this mark. I think Arizona will plan to throw it, and they'll throw it a lot in this one.
Tampa Bay's just induces a lot of pass attempts and everything like that.
They might be the team in the league that you can rank them all. Like, this team gets passed on a lot. This team gets run on a lot. It's just how you build your game plan around it. And you can kind of adjust for game script and look into how teams attack defenses. And they are number one in terms of teams attacking them through the air.
Okay. I'm intrigued by that game. And I said New Orleans. I meant Tampa Bay a second ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sunday night. Barn burner of a game, and I mean that in a literal sense. This should be a good one. Minnesota, Dallas. You got a prop with Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I'm just going to stick with the, chase volume over efficiency, or chase volume over touchdown sort of mantra that I've stuck with Minnesota here. Guys just can't sustain elite efficiency, either elite in the horrendous sense or in the good sense. And we've seen that from Kirk Cousins, who has been lighting it up this season. But his line, 257.5 passing yards. I'm at 233. So I think he's going to fall short in this game. He was under this mark, tracing back to last season, under that mark in 9 straight games, went over his next 4, and then was back under in a rough one against the Chiefs last season. He's facing Dallas this week. They've allowed the 7th fewest passing yards. Their average depth of throw against is 7.5. That's 7th lowest as well, which means teams aren't going downfield against them. And they're also allowing 6.7 yards per attempt. That is 6th lowest in the league. We know the Vikings are super pass heavy. They've called pass 50% of the time this year. That's 6th lowest. And actually, only 2 quarterbacks have reached 240 yards against the Cowboys this season. Of all people, it's Sam Darnold and Eli Manning. Just kind of random. But again, every other quarterback they face has fallen short of 240. So I think Cousins falls short here in this run-heavy Vikings offense.
Okay, interesting. And there is that thing, that narrative that Kirk Cousins struggles in prime time. So
yeah, there is. I don't have the data on that one, data on that one. But he certainly fits. Struggled in a rough spot last week. He had his moments, but overall,
Monday night, MVP favorite with Russell Wilson going here, but you like his under passing yards.
Yeah, this is the one I'm least confident in because my projection came in pretty close. But even though it is close, I still like the under. It's 262.5 passing yards for Russell Wilson here against his 49ers defense. Again, my projection's 257. So this one is really close. But, as I get into this, you'll understand why I like it a little more. He's been under in 4 of 9 games this season. He's averaging 254 yards passing on the road, but 298 on home. So at least a short-term trend, he's been, throwing for fewer yards on the road. And this one really jumped out to me. I was honestly surprised when I pulled this. Russell Wilson has reached this mark, 263 yards, in only 37 of his 134 career games. Hmm. That is a 27.6% hit rate.
But just to play devil's advocate, I'm going to interrupt you. Some of that was when they had the Legion of Boom defense.
Yep.
And now their defense is bottom third, and he's just forced to make so many plays.
That's true, but they also had a couple of years there where they went super pass heavy, and now they're back to run heavy again. So they're not far off where they used to be in terms of wanting to run the football as much as they can. And they've opened it up a little from last season. His pass attempts are up a little bit, so it's a perfectly fair argument. But nonetheless, the fact that he's at a little under 28% rate and hitting this mark, and on top of that, facing a 49ers defense, which you could talk about all their schemes during his time there. This is one of the toughest defenses he's ever played based on the way they're playing this season. They've been terrific. And on a per-game basis, they're allowing the fewest pass attempts, completions, and passing yards as allowed, as well as the second lowest yards per attempt and completion percentage. They are shutting down opposing passing games. They're allowing 166.6 passing yards a game. And, in fact, Andy Dalton, the only quarterback to go over 241 yards against them. And I know the schedule's been pretty easy, but it's still Kyler Murray, Jameis Winston, he usually throws for a lot of yards. Jared Goff has at times. Baker Mayfield, Kyle Allen has flashed for sure. Case Keenum, when he's played, has actually been okay for Washington. Mason Rudolph, that's who they faced. Certainly not a murderer's row of quarterbacks,
right?
But to have them averaging under 167 yards a game it's at a pretty impressive feat. So I think all of those variables together leads to Wilson falling a little short of this line.
Okay. Good stuff as always, my man. Let's stay hot.
All right, let's do it.
Nerd alert!
All right, thanks to Mike Clay. Thanks to Mr. Executive Director John Murray. What a fun, entertaining pod we had. So Mike Clay, stay hot. Appreciate all the people's hearing us out on the rules of the baby bankroll bonanza. How do you feel about all that, Travis?
So I you're correct that you don't just bet with one spot. And so you need to be able to make the plays where you see best fit. And especially like Murray was saying, a half a point is a lot. And so if you can get it elsewhere and then you don't have to wait. And so fair. Also stop being lazy, maybe.
Yeah. No, that was a pep talk to me.
Maybe you should have told me like, hey, text me and like, I need you to put out a tweet on Sunday mornings with the bet if that's what the line is or something.
Well, I was focused on the other stuff I had going on, my own stuff, and I needed to get that minus four in.
The real money?
Yeah. So my point is I've dropped the ball a little bit. It's like any new job. It's year one. So year one of anything is an adjustment period. So
Trevor Lawrence didn't need an adjustment.
Well, he's experiencing it now. So I just, the new schedule, the everything split off days, Saturdays being a marathon. No sleep. The early morning Sunday thing is just...
Well, that's the thing that people forget about is it's the Saturdays that get you because the games start at noon and they go till Hawaii decides the game's going to end.
Right.
And it's not like...
And that's my off day, quote unquote off day.
And it's not like the NFL where it's 1-4 and then you have your Sunday night game.
And just the Sunday morning show too, that getting up at like 5:30, like just, it ruins like my whole Sunday. Like it's really hard to like...
My Sundays are great.
I can't... I'm so excited for the end of the football season. I love it.
You know, I wake up 7:30.
Must be nice.
8, make some breakfast, you know. It's pretty nice.
It sucks, man. But I'm not going to complain because it's a great gig.
It's a blessing and a curse.
And I just need to adjust. And I need to figure out and know where I can cut corners, all that stuff. So I know how to do it. I'm a big boy. I've figured out how to like juggle a lot of things over the years. And I will be fine moving forward. I just needed to kind of take some inventory at the midseason point. That's all. So we're good. We're good. We're going to make a comeback here.
You better win this weekend.
I will. I'm going to hit a middle. I hit one last year. I had like a $6,000 lead on Murray. And I was like, all right, this is pointless if he's just going to bet nickels every week. He's never going to catch me. So then I got a little frisky. So I'm going to hit a middle. I know like it happens more than you guys realize. So it's going to hit and we're going to be good. And we're going to have a good laugh about it. And it's going to be good. Or maybe I'll just sweat out the Niners. All right, dude. We'll touch base next week. Thanks to everyone for tuning in.